Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Hi, how are you guys? Were you able to get everything done in the last 2 weeks? How many moms do we actually have coming to Women Rock? If you're like, kids are in school and it's drama, raise your hand. I'm raising both my hands and feet. Awesome. Well, you know what, girls? It was such a extension for me coming to Women Rock during that season in life because, well, I'm still in it. But when they were way little and you were like, am I losing my mind? Like, all I do is wipe butts and clean the kitchen. Like, wipe butt, clean kitchen, wipe butt, clean kitchen. My husband's like, what did you do today? I just wiped butts and cleaned kitchens. And that was like my season, right? But I had a wonderful, strong group of women to encourage me, tell me it's okay. This is not going to be the all of your life. It will pass. This is a season. And so, girls, pour into these kids as you can. Love on them. Be in their world. Be in their life. I just woke up this morning as a mom, walked downstairs to my daughter crying in the living room. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And she's like, I just don't know about everything in life. And I'm like, really, this is not what I want to do today. Like, I should be thinking about my message. Where's your dad? And the reality was, it was me, tag, I'm it, right? And so I had to get outside of myself, and I had to put, like, my mom, like, listen, sweetheart, what's going on? Have that conversation. Remind her what junior high is like. And tell her, you will make it through this, right? We all did, barely, but we made it through. And so she was fine afterwards. But, you know, you're going to be in those moments in life. Maybe you find yourself in a moment of life where you're like, I'm looking around, and I'm thinking about you. You're the only woman in the home. You've got this, Teresa. You've got this. My sister, a mom of three boys, you know, and nobody tells her, you look pretty today, mom. They're just like, I don't know. I think you look okay. Like, so girls, that's why we need each other. Mom and I were just having this conversation before we walked in. We need each other, okay? And so can you turn to the girl next to you and say, you need me? Turn to the other girl next to you the other way and say, you need me. And then I want you to say this to someone. You look beautiful today. Hallelujah. Okay? We just need that sometimes because we don't feel pretty. We're like, I'm just glad I'm dressed. And then I went on vacation and I ate everything, and so I don't fit in any clothes. So I'm wearing my stretchy pants today. Stretchy pants. Thank goodness for them. Right? So we are all good. Are we in this together, girls? Right on. Okay. Well, we were going through Ephesians, and I was just reading through, and I didn't realize I did this because I did it on purpose, but, you know, over 2 weeks of period, for me, that's like, feels like a year of a break. So I'm going through it, and I'm like, where did we leave off? I literally wrote three messages, and then I realized, oh, I already preached that. And it totally was a different message. So we could go back through Ephesians again and preach it totally different. But we're going to go to Ephesians 3 because that's where we left off. And we're stepping into one of my favorite all-time passages, something that for me, if I can remember to pray this over myself, over my children, over the staff that I'm over, over anybody that I love and appreciate in my life, it will benefit them, it will benefit the kingdom of God, it will benefit any person that steps into this prayer. It's a prayer from Paul. He was praying over the church. He's believing God. You know, he just imparted what was happening and what God had given. Now, remember, we've been through this for a while. We've learned that we are the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Can you remember that? How many of you feel that way? Not all the time, right? But we are. And that we carry an authority of God. Sometimes you feel like no one listens to you, but girls, you do have the authority of Jesus Christ. Many times I feel like, did my children even hear me? Like, I'm now, like, repeating myself on repeat. You know, the old records that, And then Dan is just as bad. I'm like, everybody's not listening. Like, but you know what? You do carry the authority of Christ. And that's who you are. When the devil comes after you, when he comes knocking on your door, you can say, oh, no, you don't get to play games in my world. You don't get to be a part of what's happening here. You don't get to have a voice. You don't get to tell me who I am or where I'm going to go or what I'm going to look like. You see, you remember, we have an authority. We also have a right to go before the throne room with a boldness. We get to walk into the heavenly places anytime we want. Isn't that amazing? We get to carry Jesus with us everywhere we go. How are we representing him? That's scary, right? And so many times Paul is writing this, and here's a man who was shipwrecked, who was snake-bitten, who was blinded because God had to get his attention. He was killing Christians. He was killing the Jews. He was killing people on behalf of God. But God had to stop him in his tracks, make him blind, turn his life around, change his name from Saul to Paul. And then he lived a very lonely life. This was a man who was in prison writing the scriptures for us so that we could have them. This was a man that was sending Christians, not him, but having to talk Christians through going into the Colosseum where they would wrap them in lion skin and feed them to the lions. Guys, we don't suffer those things in this world. We have different persecutions. We have different things that we're dealing with. And not even to me, I'm not even like, we are not even there. But at the same time, here's a man who understands despair. Here's a man who understands loneliness. Can you imagine how lonely he was in those prisons? How isolated he felt, and how God had to be everything for him. I don't know what season of life you're in, what walk you're in, but I'm sure Paul has been there. And so when Paul is talking, he's teaching us and he's telling us, listen, remember who you are. That God gave us his mystery of heaven. It is now ours as a gift. It's ours to carry. It's our inheritance. It's who we are. It's what we carry. He went and he sat at the right hand of heavenly places. Remember, we learned this. And that we are now the ambassadors of Jesus Christ here on earth. So when we remember these things, right, what does life look like for us? It looks like a life, I believe, of God's appreciation. I'm appreciative of what God did for me. I'm appreciative that he sent his son who died on a cross for me, who took away my sin, who I don't have to go back to the old Jess, but I can walk into the new Jess. I don't have to go back into the old foolish things that, do flip through my head at times and I'm like so ashamed. But I don't have to live in guilt and shame any longer because I have a God in heaven who came, who died, who rescued, who redeemed, who stripped away those things, and who has now built me up into a new person, a woman who can handle things, a woman who's got this. Say, I've got this. You've got this, right? We just have to tell each other we got this because sometimes you don't feel like you got this. But that's why we come to Women Rock, because sometimes you need a pep talk. So today, this is a pep talk message. I needed a pep talk before I walked in, so I thank God for my mom. She just knows me, and she's like, I've been praying for you today. I'm like, what? How do you know? You know? But I mean, it's like my kids. I know. I know when something's not right. I just know. And yet God says, if you could remember, stay focused on, stay centered on the mystery of who I am is all who you are. God's mysteries. How does heaven work? What is the authority that it carries? You know, I saw Jesus walk the earth and heal people. I saw blind eyes open and people raised from the dead. I saw those things in scriptures. Guess what, girls? You have the right and you have the authority to carry them and walk into those things as well. See, this is a God who has done so much for us. But yet, what are we doing with the mystery? What are we doing with the inheritance? What are we doing with the power? What are we doing with the authority? We need to be in appreciation on an everyday level of who he is and what he's given and what he sacrificed for us. And this is an incredible prayer that brings us back to reality. Because sometimes our reality becomes very small, or it becomes very minimal, I guess you would say, or little things become big deals. You know, my mom used to say, you're making mountains out of molehills. And I would be like so mad at her, no, I'm not making mountains out of molehills. And then I look back and I'm like, oh, I was making mountains out of molehills. I remember telling my youth pastor, I'm just going to die. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. Somebody broke up with me, you know. I don't even remember which boyfriend that was, you know. And I'm sure she was like, you're not going to die, you know. But yet, here's God in heaven going, whoa, 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 get off yourself and get on me. Get off you and get on me, because you have to walk in the mystery. You have to walk in the inheritance. You have to walk in what I gave you. Don't walk in what you were. Walk in who you are. Because we can't walk in the past. We have to walk into the future. And God has something for us. So have you ever stopped in life? Have you ever had those weeks where you're like, praise Jesus, God is good. And you're telling everyone how good things are, life is good. And then you have the next week, and you are like Mrs. Complainer. Like, if anyone met you, they'd be like, she's not saved. God's not doing nothing for her. She must be sinning. Have you ever had that? And then you find yourself like, why did I do that? Like, I know better. I know better than to complain. I know better than to not walk out what I should be walking in. But I just want to be mad today. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe once a month, you know? Oh my gosh, hormones. I'm gonna talk to Eve about that one. So then you go into it, and how easy it is for us to walk into the negative but forget how easy it is to step into the positive. And yet sometimes I think our flesh wants to stay in the negative. It's easier, right? It's like, why is it easier to eat more than it is to not eat more? Why? Why could it have been easier? You know, why is it easier to go and just, you know, dabble in things you shouldn't be dabbling in, look at the wrong things on Facebook that you shouldn't be looking at, or maybe just talking about someone you shouldn't be talking about, little gossip, tasty morsels. But yet it's harder to just shut your mouth. You may know something, but they don't need to know you know. And it's not going to help anything if you say something. Or maybe you're looking at that ex-boyfriend and you shouldn't be checking out ex-anybody's. You need to be looking at your husband and praying for your husband. Maybe you're speaking death over your children. Well, you're stupid. You're never going to make anything of yourself if you keep doing things this way. Maybe you're not speaking life anymore, like Pastor Dan talked about last night. Good message if you need to get it, because we need to speak faith and life over ourselves again. You see, we all find ourselves there, girls. This is not a message to make us feel convicted. This is a message to remind us to get back into an appreciation of what God did for us, because we can easily so forget. And we need to start walking in God's goodness, in God's grace, in his mercy. When we get off track, we need to just turn right back around. You know, when I was trying to lose weight years ago after Micah, oh my gosh, I ate 3 meals a day. Well, probably more than that with him. And they were all Mexican food. Like, I didn't eat anything but Mexican food. The kid loves Mexican food now. And I just blew up. I mean, I just blew up. He was 10 pounds, 4 ounces when he came out. And I do blame the Mexican food for that. Because then the next child was 7 pounds. So I ate. And I never stopped eating. And, you know, honestly, at that point, there was no self-control. There was no, like, God, what do you need from me? That next child, I got back into the Word of God, because I was real, like, miserable with Micah. This third child, I was like, I'm going to do this right, Lord. I need your help. I got God in on the process. Guess what happened? I had this, like, conviction about my body, and like, I need to take care of it. You know, you gave this to me. I'm supposed to be housing you. I'm supposed to be taking care of you. I have a life inside of me that needs to be healthy, you know, all. And I changed my mind frame. I changed what I said. I changed how I was walking out my attitude. I changed everything. Not saying I'm perfect. What I'm saying, though, is when I got God involved, things just were different. It was just totally a different situation. It was like night and day. Now, both children are amazing, but just the pregnancies were completely different. If in the natural it's that way, what is it like in our supernatural? So maybe you had a bad marriage, and you're like, oh, I just keep having bad marriages. I'm like on my third divorce. And people are saying, well, obviously it's you, you know? And you're going, I feel like it's me. But maybe it's time to do things different. Maybe it's time to find out how God wants things to be done. That means you need to study out, what did I not do as a wife? How did I not actually support or pray or come under the mission of my husband? How did I, you know, allow this this women's rights lib thing that we're doing. I don't know what that is, but it's not woman. Woman is awesome. Woman is strong. Woman is amazing. But we're not indifferent. We're not stupid. And we can come under a man like God has asked us to and be strong. We can come under a man and take care of our home. We can come under, and it's not a weak thing, girls. Listen, you might be going, what is she talking about? Especially you younger ones. I want to tell you something. You're not weak because you love your husband and you take care of your home. It's not a weak thing. I know it's seen as a weak thing, but it's not. It's actually harder to do that because it's much more of a sacrifice and getting outside of yourself when you have to clean that stupid toilet 50,000 times and no one notices. And then your husband comes home and says, what did you do all day? And you're like, it's 5 o'clock. I don't get to leave, right? Like, I just get to stay in the same job I've been in all day. So let's not beat each other up over one having to work and one not. Then you've got the working mom who walks into her house and says, oh, well, like, I don't even care if the dishes get done because I'm ready to snap. Like, I don't want to have another conversation. And the last thing I want to do is cook and clean, right? The last thing I want to do is be like, hi, honey, welcome home. No. But this is what we are. We're strong. And if we can pull from our source, his name is Jesus. And whatever walk you find yourself in, whatever walk, because every season changes, guys, the seasons are just a season. So if you find yourself in one you don't like, hold on, a new one will be coming. Okay? That's the encouragement for today. We're going to step into who God needs us to be, but I have to understand who he is, and I have to appreciate what he's given so that when I feel weak and inside of myself, I can pull out to him and go, okay, what do you got for me? Because I in myself am a mess. I in myself am thinking bad thoughts. I in myself am not loving, and I'm not, like, I've had the pastoral thoughts, like, I am not pastoral enough. Like, I am not caring. Like, I'm not as caring as I should be. I'm not as, like, why can't I remember things? Does anybody else have a problem remembering things? I can't remember anything. And why am I not remembering things? And all these things. And all of a sudden, you end up becoming this person who's beating you up. Can you be your own worst enemy, or am I the only worst enemy of myself? I mean, we beat ourselves up, and the Lord says, would you stop? I've done so much. Remember who you are and step outside of who you think you are. Step into who you are in me. And so this is where we're going, Ephesians 3:13. I'm going to just back up in one verse just so we know where we're going. And therefore I ask that you do not lose heart. Ooh, girls, don't lose heart in this. In what? Not just the situation, but in life. Don't lose heart in life. My tribulations for you, which is your glory. What? Tribulations are glory. Tribulations? Glory is God's manifested goodness? Wait, tribulations are goodness? See, the Bible makes no sense if you look at it through your eyes. But when you begin to look at the Word of God through his eyes, the tribulations are going to make you stronger. They're going to make you tougher. I think we talked about this last time. They're going to put you through. Don't discredit the battle. Remember, we talked about the battle and how important it is because it builds you up. It strengthens you. You find out who you really are in times of trouble, and you find out most of all who he is. And that is something you never should discredit. But then it goes into this. And Paul prays this prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one, girls, who created you, who loved you, who formed you, who knows your thoughts, the good and the bad, who knows the issues, the good and the bad, who knows the judgments that you're putting on people and the gossip that you've said. Ooh, this is the same Father who loves you so much. He loves you with the good and he loves you with the bad. He loves you, and that's not an issue for him. He loves you. Verse 15, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Are you a part of the family outside of this church? Are you part of this house? You've now, when you come to a church, can I explain church to you guys? When you come to church, you come under an umbrella of blessing and anointing and protection. See, God builds his houses, and each of them are different. because there's different personalities, there's different ways that people want to do things. God is gracious to us. But at the same time, when you come into a house and you become part of the body of Christ in this house, now there's a big body of Christ, all of us, but when we come to this house, right, I'm talking to the Rock Church girls right now, when you're here and you're a part of, when one hurts, we all hurt. When one cries, we cry with you. When one prays, we got to pray with you. This is a new family. We may not all look the same, obviously. Some are white, some are black, some are Hispanic, some are Asian. Whatever, I really don't care, because we are all kingdom kids. And on the inside, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And God has knitted us together. He's brought the church together for unity. Grab the girl's hand next to you and say, we're unified. You're not alone. The devil will tell you you're alone, tell you you're not a part of something, but you are, and you're valuable, and God loves you. Amen. See, that's who we are. That's who we are. For whom the whole family, so guess what? We're all family, right? Of whom is named, hello, from heavenly places. I am named after Jesus Christ. That's my new identity. I'm not Cobra or Roth even. I am Jessica, the daughter of Jesus Christ. I am the one who he created, who he formed. You are a new creation. You may wake up one morning and go, I don't recognize myself anymore. Well, if you are for the better, that is a good thing, because the old man needs to be stripped away from us and the new man needs to be put back on, and we need to identify with a family of God as we are. Now listen, other churches are our family too. Other Christians are a part of who we are. They may do things differently. They may not do things that the word says, whatever. Just walk in love, encourage each other, because let me tell you something, dark times are coming. And we as the church need each other. We're going to have to stand on the word together, because they're going to try and take the word from us. We're going to have to pray like we've never prayed before. When you call yourself a Christian, you're going to have to be a Christian. You're not going to be this in and out, up and down, I want God when I want God, and I don't want God when I don't want God. You're going to have to go, no, I'm a Christian. I went to a school that it was a school where everybody said they were Christians, but really, I would question everything about that. And I had the hardest time, because I felt like they were all fake. And then I went back to public school my last 2 years, and I had to be a Christian. Because the people there were like, well, if you're a Christian, show me. I mean, I had Satan worshipers testing me in my faith. And I was like, come to church with me. And I used to bring this girl, and she was full of demons. And she would come to church, and she would stand outside the door. She wouldn't even come in. But I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to be a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they were willing to listen. The world is hungry for the truth. The world thinks they know the truth, but in their heart, they know it's not truth, because it's not satisfying. The truth is satisfying. It's not loving. They'll call it love, but they're replacing the word love for lust and for the pleasures of this world. That's not love. God is love. Not love is not love. I know that's a new saying. No. God is love. So if you don't have God, you don't understand what true love is. And so we've got to get ourselves, girls, as Christians, back into what this thing says. And this has to be where we stand as a church, where we identify as our Father, where we say, okay, you can think that way, but I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to conform to what you say. And I'm not going to be what you need me to be, because I'm changed. I am renewed. I can't go back to those former things. I've got to press on towards the mark and do what the gospel and God has asked me to do. You see, that's what he's saying to the church and to the family who identify themselves as his kids. So do I have kids in here? Do I have God's daughters in here? Okay. So then let's step into what he wants for us. Verse 15. From who the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16, that he would, not he could, but that he would. So it's a done deal. Grant you, give you is another word for that, according to the riches of his glory. Wait, hold on. I grew up poor. I grew up like, this is it for me, Pastor Jess. I can't ask for greater things, because that's selfish. Or because, this is my favorite one lately, because I don't have the opportunity. Oh, come on. You are now a daughter of the Most High God. Opportunity is all yours, and everything is yours. You've now stepped into a new realm and a new kingdom, and God is not a respecter of persons. You say you can stand up there with your clothes and your hair and whatever. Listen, girls, I didn't get here because I chose bad things. I got here because I paid a price, because I said no to sin, because I made some hard choices, because we said no to things that the other people in the world said yes to. The other day, can I tell you a story? I had our car, we'll get into this, we got in a car accident on our vacation. My stinking car, right? Like every time I go on vacation, it gets ruined. So I'm at the rental place yesterday, and they're trying to push me around, and I'm like, I'm IE, you're not pushing me around. And so I'm not leaving here until I get a 7-seater, because that's what you ruined. So I'm standing there waiting, I'm waiting. So they finally get me everything I need. And I go to get the car, and there's a car next to me. And this car was beat up. I mean, it was like no windows. It didn't have, like, the people, like, inside, there were cigarettes everywhere. You just tell they lived a rough life. And on the back of it said, God hates us all. In big letters. Big letters. And I was like, what? And I'm like, well, that's why your car looks like that. Like, I got the blessings. I'm walking into this nice rental because I serve God, and because I've been his daughter, and because I'm not cursing him, but I'm stepping into what he has for me, because I've laid aside a life of sin and brokenness and torment. That person was living what they spoke over themselves. And I choose not to. I have a new opportunity in life. I have a new description of my life. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your background is. God does not care. He's not looking at that. He's looking at where you could go. He's looking at where he needs you to be. He's looking at what's next for you. You've got to change your thinking. So when you're in a group of people that want to get on the subject of, well, you know, this is just the hand we've been dealt. This is just what God has for me. It is what it is. Mr. Negatory, good buddy. Then what you need to do is go, well, it's not what it is, what I'm having. I'm believing God for the impossible. I'm believing God that this is not going to be where I stay, but I'm going to go further. One day you're going to look at me and you'll be mad at me because I'll be blessed. I mean, just speak it, girls. There's nothing wrong with it, because God wants to bless his kids. God wants to take us from the miry clay and clean us up and make us and mold us into who he's asked us to be. He wants us to shine in a world so dark. Listen, this world is getting darker by the day. Every person I came across on my vacation was mean and rude and bitter, and I was like, what is happening in the world? And Dan was like, it's just getting darker. People are just on edge. Everybody's on edge. And you know what? I thought, oh, that's scary. And then I had this other thought right away. So you can just tell when the Holy Spirit just, you know, kind of detours your thought process. It said, this is good for you. Because you will just be you, and you will shine so much brighter. So as the world gets darker, you're going to shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. But you have to get this stuff in your heart so you don't get thrown off. Because you're going to get thrown off. It'll be a natural thing. The enemy does it on purpose to beat us up, to take us out. Verse 16, to be strengthened with his might through his spirit in our inner man. I need some strengthening today through him. Because in my own strength, I would have liked to stay in bed today. How many of you would have, right? You're the mom that hears the kids downstairs, and then the dogs are, I don't know about you, but my dogs are freaking out. The kids are freaking out. I look over at Dan. He is snoring. And I'm like, I'm it. Tag, I'm it, right? Like, I got to get up. I got to get this house moving. I got to get these things done. And, you know, in that process, it always ends up being special conversations with my kids. It always ends up being that I get so much done. I'm like, I'm the girl that gets a ton done in the morning. And so it works itself out. And so what I could complain about, I have to strengthen myself through him. And I'll walk down my stairs and I'll say, today, I need your strength. Today, God, I need your strength. I'll just pray that little prayer over myself. Because it's not in our ability. You can't do it all. You weren't built to carry everything. You weren't built to carry on the weights of your family. You weren't built to carry on the weight of this world. You can't. And so I had this conversation with my daughter just today. Remember, I talked to you about it. And I told her, you're taking on what other people's issues are. And you need to cast your care. These are not things you should be dealing with. These are not things that you should have to carry. It doesn't make you a better person by being so broken over someone else's situation. It doesn't. And she goes, oh. So as I'm walking up the stairs, the Lord says, you too. And I was like, you know, guys, we're all in this together. And so if we can remind ourselves, today's our reminder. So point number one, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Have you ever had your kids come home from a crazy day and they're acting weird? Like they're saying things that you're like, we don't talk like that in this house. There's been times that my kids have said things and I'm like, I'm sorry, let's go back to who you are. Remember, you are part of the Roth family, and we are held to a higher standard. I don't care what their parents let them get away with. You're not getting away with that. You're not going to be, it's not okay for you to watch that. I don't care, you're not playing that game. You're not doing it. I might be uncool, I might not be the fun mom, but I really don't freaking care. Because one day you're going to love me and you're going to think my mom was a good mom because she guarded my heart, because she didn't let the enemy come in and steal my thoughts and steal those things. You see, girls, you're going to have to put boundaries around some things in your life. So when my kids start to forget who they are, I'm the first one in their face to be like, who are you? Is that what we think? Is that who I am training you up to be? Chloe had a thought the other day. I'm just ugly. I don't think I'm pretty. I'm just ugly. I said, Chloe, do you know that to be true? And she's like, no, I know it's a lie. I just have to cast it down. I'm like, that's right. You cast it down every time you tell it to go back to hell. Because you're beautiful inside and out. And you don't let the enemy. I want you to walk around with your shoulders back. And you don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And you see, we have to switch the thinking in our children's mind. But how much more do we have to remind ourselves who we are? Because we're looking in the mirrors and going, we're ugly. We're looking in the mirrors going, it's just not good enough. We're looking in the mirror and going, I just can't get there. I'm just not that girl. And you're comparing yourself with someone else. I don't know who she is, but you may know who she is. It could be a sister. It could be a cousin. It could be a church member. It could be somebody else. And when you begin to compare, an old friend of ours, Eleanor Becker, used to say, when you compare, someone gets smaller. And it's not the other person. It's you. And the enemy begins to take ground in your heart and in your mind. And so, girls, don't give him any room to tell you who you are. You remind yourself daily who you are. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. And if I want to change some things in my life, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get better at the things that I'm asking God to do in my life. I'm not going to stay in this bed and let the enemy defeat me. I'm going to get up out of the bed today, and I'm going to make it a beautiful day. I'm going to ask the Lord to lead me and guide me. I remember one time, Tracy, you had a testimony a long time ago. You woke up, the kids were little, and you said, God, what do you want me to do today? And you went to State Street, and the Lord told you to minister to a homeless person with your kids, and you were just led that day. You were just so led that day. Are we being led? Are we asking the Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to come across? What conversation do I need to have? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a girl at the store who's going through a divorce, or maybe she's raising a special needs child and beat up over it, and she's exhausted with life. You never know what someone is doing in life. You don't know what they're going through, but you might be the ambassador, the one on assignment, the one to build them up, the one to just speak life over them. Remember who you are. Don't discredit your position. Don't take yourself out of the game unless God says you're out, but you're not out. God says you're in. You're always in until I take you home to be with Jesus. You stay on point, girls. You keep being who you are, and you are reminding yourself daily of who you are. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Girls, we're blessed. You say, I don't feel blessed. Well, I don't care what you feel. This is not about our feelings. The whole world tells us it's about our feelings. God says it has nothing to do with your feelings. In the Word of God, it says, die to your flesh. Put it under. Because this is spiritual. If you want spiritual things, you got to step into the supernatural. That means I don't feel pretty, but I am pretty in Jesus' name. Maybe I don't feel smart, but I'm smart, and I'm going to have the mind of Christ, and I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. And as I read my word, Lord, make me smarter. Did you know that as you read your Bible, you get smarter? It actually is proven. It's proven. They did whole studies on it. And that if you read your Bible while you study, like if you use both, your brain will get smarter. You know, they say classical music will help your brain unlock and make you smarter. So will the Bible. You see, God knows what he's doing. He's the one that knit us all together. He's the one who formed us. He's the one who knows how these temples work. And he's the one who knows how to heal these temples. He's the one that knows how to get us to use the temples the way we need to. So maybe some of us just need a little pep talk to say, I am awesome. And I am who God needs me to be. And today, I'm on assignment. Say, I am awesome. I am who God needs me to be. And today, I'm on assignment. What's in your hand? Who's in front of you? And who are you? God loves you. He cherishes you. He values you. He needs you. Maybe you've been kicked to the side. Maybe nobody's ever said, I need you. You've always felt like rejection has been like a big word in your life. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what man does. God loves you. He's never rejected you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He, even when you're mad at him, he sits there and he waits for you to be over it. He's a good God. He doesn't leave you. He's gracious. He's so good to us. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. I can't think of when God is not giving to me. He's always giving to me. And guess what I'm doing? I'm always taking. But what can I do for God? I can give appreciation by remembering who I am. And when my children forget who they are, I'm troubled. It makes my heart sad because I feel like everything I put into them, they're not getting it. And it makes me sad. Listen, girls, God's the same way. Let's remember who we are so we can be pleasing to our Father because he created us. So your personality may be different or quirky or whatever. Listen, I'm feisty and I'm a little like, I don't know. Everybody said ghetto. I don't know what that means, but okay. I'm not going to let you push me around. I'm not. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm a wimp. And I used to, for about 2 years, I was just putting that under. Like, oh, I'm just not going to. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said, you need to stop that. I gave you feisty because I need you to be feisty. You're going to have to be feisty against the enemy. You're going to have to be feisty to push past all the mean things that are going to be said to you. You're going to have to be feisty when you don't see what you want to see. You're going to have to be feisty, and that's what's going to get you. So stop beating yourself up. I was like, yes, sir, okay. I'm going to just be me then. People might not like it, but oh well. Listen, who are you? What is your quirky personality that you beat yourself up over? How about own it and be okay with it? And that's who God made you to be, then ask God to help you shape it for the kingdom of God. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't given to you because you've got an assignment and God needs you to have that specific type of personality to do and take care of the people in your world in that season, right? So stop beating yourself up. Step into who you are. God is always giving to us. In the Greek, it's didymoni. I don't know. I'm not very good at this stuff. Teresa's way better. It says granting, a bestowing, an imparting. This is who God is. He's permitting us. He's placing us. Ooh, if you've never had a place anywhere, you have a place in the kingdom of God. He's offering us. He's presenting us, yielding and paying. He's giving an object of value. It gives freely and is unforced. You see, God's hand is not forced to love us. God's hand is not forced to bless us. He does it willingly and lovingly. Remember who you are. Remember where you belong. Remember you have access to the throne room. And number two, be strong in your faith. It's going to come, girls, the wiles of the enemy, the troubles, the heartache, the rejection, the frustration, the disappointments of life. They will come. We all know that, right? You might be going through it right now, but God says, be strong in your faith. Your faith will take you to a new level in those hard times. When you find yourselves in the valleys, look up to God and stand in faith. Watch and guard and be ready for what God has. 1 Corinthians 16:13, I love this. Watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. If you just wrote that on your bathroom window every time you get up in the morning, girls, watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, and be strong. Do not let the enemy take you out. Don't let him push you around. Don't let him put you out there for the wolves. You are not one to be picked off. You are one to be built up. You are one to be afraid of. You're one who has authority and power and rule and reign because the one who lives inside of you, his name is Jesus. You see, 1 Corinthians, watch. Stand fast in faith. I can't say this enough. Be brave and be strong. We went on vacation. And first day of vacation, we pull out of the hotel. And we're going like 20 miles an hour. And we hear screeching and then bam. and someone rear-ends us. And it was like, did that just happen? Was that us? You know, like, you know those moments when you're like, this didn't just happen. This is my new car. This is the nicest car I've ever owned. Like, I actually have a payment on this car, and I hate it. And so I'm in my car, and I'm like, okay, first of all, kids, are you okay? Because the kids were in the car. They were freaked out. We couldn't move the car. We tried driving it. It wouldn't drive. We were like, this is great. It's our first day of vacation. What do? We're 9 hours away from home. And so we called the insurance company. The guy ended up falling asleep at the wheel. He had worked an overnight shift. His wife died in a car accident 13 months before to that day. And I just felt like it was demonic. Like, there was something out for us. Because we had just got done praying. Every time we get in the car, we pray. And we asked the Lord for protection, and we had just got done praying as a family for, you know, our day and for the safety of God, and then that happened. So Pastor Jess got mad at God, and I was like, I don't want to talk to him today. You know, he could have delayed us at the hotel so we didn't get hit. Like, first of all, I have two pink eyes. I have an infection in my lungs. I'm on antibiotics like crazy. My dog is dying at home. My other dog started her period, and now we leave vacation. I'm just, like, irritated. Have you ever just had irritated days? My new car gets hit. I can't even drive it. And so I'm just mad. Just mad. I just want to be mad. But then when I hear this guy's story, this compassion of God comes on me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And he's like, no, I'm just glad you guys are okay. That really scared me. I would have hated to be the one to kill your children. And I thought, oh my God, this guy. Like, what is going on with him? Like, think about the weight of what he was carrying. And so during the day, I was saying things like, why didn't God just delay us? He's always done that before. He's, you know, we've avoided the accidents. I was the person asking the why when I tell you not to, right? Like I was. And Dan goes, you know, Jess, I've been thinking about your question. And he goes, what if we were a buffer? What if he was going to get on the freeway right after that and actually be headed 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, and kill himself or someone else? What if we were a buffer? It's a stupid car. It's just, you know, God can replace anything. We've never asked for money. God's always taking care of us. Why are you bummed about this? I'm like, I don't know. I don't even like my car that much. I mean, it's not like a Mercedes. And he's all, shut up. And I was like trying to just poke, like, hey, maybe you could give me a new car. And so I'm kidding, girls. I'm kidding. And so I'm like, it's not about the car. I don't know. I just think I'm irritated, you know? And he goes, I think it's the year you're decomposing the whole year. Like, just go ahead. And the whole day I just cried. Have you ever had those days where, like, not a heaving cry, but just tears? And I don't even know I'm crying. Just tears. Just tears. The kids would be like, you were so sad that day. Like, they told me, Mom, I've never seen you that sad. And I'm like, I can't even tell you really what it was about. I was just crying all day. Like, and it wasn't like, it was just like, you know, under my sunglasses, just nobody probably knew. And I didn't want anyone to touch me because I have pink eyes. So I'm like trying not to get pink eye everywhere. And I'm not allowed to wear makeup because of the pink eye. And so I'm not like feeling good about myself. You know, all these things, the stupid things us women deal with, right? And as I got up the next morning, I wasn't talking to God, remember, I'm not talking to you, I'm mad at you. And I got up the next morning, he goes, I'm sitting on the couch, everybody's sleeping. And he goes, are you done? I just heard that. Are you done? I'm like, yes. And he's like, I never left you yesterday. I never gave you something you can't handle. And you were a part of something greater. You may not know what it is, but trust me in it. And I was like, okay. So who knows what that man needed that day? Maybe it was a conversation Dan had with him outside the car, because Dan's way more spiritual than I am. And I was like, I don't want to talk to him. Like, you can deal with this guy. Because I'm on the phone with the insurance company, and they're trying not to give me nothing. And I'm like, why do I pay you? So, I mean, I'm feisty Pastor Jess, okay? So can I tell you I'm normal like you are? And so, but God the next day turned my heart, and he said, I love you. It's not going to be an issue. That day, you know what happened? We ended up finding someone to, like, kind of manipulate the muffler so we could get home safely, because I'm going, how do we get this thing home? We don't even know where we're at. They're telling us to end our vacation, and I'm like, I'm not ending my vacation. I can't get a refund for the hotels, you know, like. And so we ended up making it home. We got to Mammoth. My family met us in Mammoth, and we had a great time together as a family. It was a wonderful time. We get home yesterday. This car literally, like, stops working. It, like, makes the weirdest noises, and I'm like, whoa, God took care of us. Like, he got us all the way home. And then now the car's in the shop today. God's good. He's covered us. I have a rental. My car, my kids are safe. What am I complaining about? You see, we all do it. But at the same time, there was something inside of me that had to fight. Because when I dealt with the insurance company, they were trying to push me over. The lady said, I said, do you give us a rental in this time? Like, what do we do now if we don't have a car? We're stuck 9 hours away. Do we just, like, walk, like, home? Like, I was so confused. Like, what do we do? She goes, well, now that you've said rental, I can talk to you about it. So just so you all know, request from your insurance company is everything. Because unless you request it, you can't get it, right? So I was like, that is so wrong. And, you know, just because we're Christians, just because you're supposed to be loving, you are loving. But don't let people push you around, girls. Be the mama bear when you need to be. Protect your children because nobody else is going to. They're your kids. Like, if someone's picking on my kids, I'm going on campus. I don't care what you say. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, someone's going to mess with you guys. I'm gonna go ahead and front that demon in his face and be like, you don't get to touch my congregation. You don't get to play with them. You don't get to steal their families, and you don't get to steal their kids. Like, you don't get to. You see, pull out that fight spirit inside of you, because there was a part of me during this time that was like, just stay silent. Don't cause waves. Be a good Christian girl. And then something on the other side of me went, no, 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 no. Come on, I'm not a wimp. You're not going to push me around. So when I got to the rental place, the guy across the counter, who's from Moval, and we were talking, we were enjoying each other, and the lady was like, yeah, I'm going to give you $20 a day rental. And it didn't even fit all my kids in the car. And I'm like, no, that's not what we talked about. And he's like, well, this is what they're saying. I said, well, let me tell you something. IE is about to rise up and not allow her to get away with what she's trying to get away with. He goes, oh, I got your back, girl. Let's do this together. And he got on the phone with her and he was like, I'm sorry, but Mrs. Roth is going to walk out of here with the car that you promised her. And you see, I had to fight. It wasn't fun. I don't have to do it. But girl, stop being so wimpy. Go out there and get what you need, and don't be rude about it, but just be like, you're not going to push me around. I'm going to go take back what was rightfully mine. Just like I paid for it in the insurance and I should have had it, I went and I got it. What is it in the spirit realm? What is it in your family the enemy has taken? What is the salvation? What is the mindsets that your family members are operating in that you're going, what happened to them? They were raised in Christ. Now they're all off and they're doing their own thing. You see, begin in the spirit to fight. Begin to say, no, you're not pushing them around anymore, devil. I'm not letting you take their mindsets. I'm not letting you take their souls from hell. You are not going to keep them. I'm going to win them over and they're going to be in heaven one day. They're going to serve God with all their hearts and all their lives. You see, don't let the enemy push you around. Just because you might be a Christian doesn't mean you're weak. They see us as weak. The enemy likes to make us feel like we're not tough enough to handle it. But let me tell you, you're tough and you're tough and you're tough. And every day and every battle, you get tougher and you get tougher. And you say, you're not pushing me around. You're not taking me out. Maybe you're sitting here and you're feeling old. And you're going, oh, but my body's falling apart. And this, listen, how tough do you want to be at the end of your life? Don't let the enemy steal anything from you. Don't let him take ground from you. Begin to speak over yourself. Begin to say those things that you don't feel. Begin to speak life back into what was dead. Begin to speak life over those relationships you've not seen or any movement has been happening. Begin to speak life, church. We cannot be sitting idle any longer. The world is roaring. The enemy is roaring like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you something, he's going to take you out if you don't stand up against him. Don't be pushed around. Now listen, I'm not saying to be rude. In all of this, I wasn't rude, and I did guard myself when I knew I was being rude. I put myself in the car, and I let Dan deal with it because I knew I was mad. Okay, so I put myself away. So sometimes you're going to have to put yourself away, okay? And if people are like, why is she not answering the phone? Why? I'm just putting myself away for a second, and I'm going to like be mad, yell at God, whatever I got to do. And then I'm going to come back out and be who I need to be. Because reality is you are still human. Okay? So no condemnation. But put yourself away for a second. Come back out. And then step back into who you need to be. And walk in love. And walk in grace. Walk in mercy. But don't let the enemy push you around. Don't let him take you out. Don't just be okay with the first answer you get. Sometimes the enemy's going to say, no, you're not good enough. You can't do that. You applied for school. You didn't get it. You didn't get in. Well, so what? So it's not the end of the world. There's like a million schools. Go apply for another one because you're not stupid and God's got the right one for you. Maybe that school was going to take you down, not take you where you needed to be. Whatever. Maybe you didn't get the job you wanted. Somebody took my job and you got to point the finger at someone else. God says, stop it. Be strong. Stand watch. That wasn't the right job for you. I have a better job for you. I need you in this place at this time for this reason. I don't need you there. If you were there, you wouldn't be in my will. You see, girls, take a breath. Watch. Watch. Stand in faith when you don't understand. Be brave and be strong. That's pleasing to our Father. That's what he did everything for. Don't be moved. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullness. Have it to the fullness. Third one, but not last, just the beginning. Build up your inner man. This is prep time for us, girls. This right here is prep time for us. When you come to church, it's prep time. Psalm 73:26 in the New English Translation says, my flesh and my heart may grow weak. Oh, boy, we've all been there. But God always protects my heart, and he gives me stability. You see, he let me pout for a day because he knew me. And I'm grateful for that because then I just felt stupid the next day. Like, have you ever gotten back with God and you're like, I'm stupid. I'm mad at myself now. Like, that's how it felt. And so I was upset, you know, with myself. And then God had to work me through that. I was like breaking free all over again, over and over again. And so then, but it was prep time for me because I had to work through that. Because little did I know, someone that I love very much was going through something very similar back here at home. And my one day of feelings has been their 3 weeks of feelings. And I was able to come back and be like, I actually know, like, where you were mentally. Like, I understand your frustration and not wanting to be with God. I understand that you haven't been able to even pray because you're so mad. Because you're so confused. I get it. But this is where you need to get. And then we were able to work through it, and I got a chance to just minister to them. And so maybe my experience was there to help them so that I could say the right thing to them when they were coming out of it. And now they're doing well. See, God is faithful. But I had to build up my inner man. And sometimes we think that us being, like, mean or having hard times, sometimes that's building time. Because when my kids are having a bad moment, that's the time I move in, and I'm like, okay, calm down. Let me hear you out. What's going on? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Then they tell me how they're feeling. They tell me how they're thinking. Then I walk through, like, well, these are not thoughts from God. Let's talk about what God's word says about you. And then let's talk about how we can fix this in your personality according to what the word of God says. And it becomes this really great conversation. It becomes training ground. It becomes all of that. So when you're having a bad day, it's your prep time. It's your training ground. Don't discredit it. Those are good places to be in because then God can come in and he can change the circumstance. This is prep time. What does your prep time look like? How much time are you putting in to your God time on your own? I don't know. Like, do you get up in the morning? Do you spend time with him? Before you go to bed, are you spending time with him? Are you praying in the spirit? How many of you have your prayer language? Are you praying in the spirit? Building your inner man up, strengthening yourself. Because these things are going to come out of the blue. You know, your kids are going to come tell you something crazy. Your kids are going to come. Your husband's going to do something stupid, and you're going to be devastated. Whatever. I don't know what your circumstance is. But I'll tell you, the prep time is what's going to sustain you in that. So you need to put in as much as you can. So when this stuff happens, what comes out of you is the word of God. What comes out of you is faith. What comes out of you is speaking life into a situation instead of despair, depression, discouragement, defeat. I'm not good enough. See, God doesn't say those things about you. You are awesome. God loves you. How much time are you giving to God? How much time are you in church? Some of you used to come to church more than once a week. It's kind of the new trend now, like churches only have a Sunday morning service, and people are like, that's so great because then they don't interrupt my week. And I'm like, we interrupt your week? Like, I'm sorry that your sports and everything else is so much more important than getting the word of God into your heart so that you can sustain yourself in really crappy times. Because this is called prep time. You're either a Christian or you're not. God doesn't fit into your life. You fit into his life. You become his when you're a Christian. He doesn't just fit in and you don't just get to put him on the sideline. And see, this is the problem with the church in America. We need to begin to switch our thinking. No, I need to get myself filled up. I need to be in two services a week because I need more. And then if you can get into three, do it, girls. Do it. Because you can fill yourself up, build up your inner man and your strength so that you can handle life. Life is getting darker and harder, and the enemy's job is to keep you away and to keep you out from filling up your inner man. God loves you. In Romans 7:22, it says, I delight in the law of God. Well, how do you know what the law of God is if you're not in church? How do you know what God wants for you if you're not hearing the word of God? How do you know what God wants for you if you're not spending time in your word on your own and allowing the Spirit of God to speak through you in your word? How do you know? But see, it says, I delight in the law of God according to my inward man. It means, have you ever had time? I don't know about you guys, but there's times when I'm like sad because I haven't had time just with me and God. And you know, like yesterday, I went home and the kids got ready for homecoming and we were doing stuff before church. And I'm sitting down to do my message, and I'm really enjoying my time alone, you know, with God. And my husband calls, and I'm like, I'm not answering that. Like, I'm sorry, you're an interruption. And so I finish what I'm doing. I call him back, and he's like, why didn't you call me? I'm like, is something wrong? And he's like, no. I'm like, you knew I was studying. Like, that's why I'm not calling you. And he's like, oh, well, I just want to talk. I'm driving home. I'm like, I don't want to talk. Like, and I could be rude. But the reality is, he knew what he said to me. He goes, I am so sorry. I forgot you were studying. And that's way more important than me just talking to you. Jess, you go finish what you need to do. When I come home, I'll start dinner because I want you to be able to have your time. And I know you want to come to church tonight. So we worked together and we got it done. But, you know, you're going to have to guard your time. You're going to have to fill up that spirit man inside of you. You're going to have to tell the people in your world that you do love, I'm sorry, right now I just can't talk. Right now I've got to be with God. Because those are the moments that will be so precious to you that when you're in the hard times, he'll be your delight. Your inner man will be built up. Psalms 1-3, I love this verse. I live by this verse. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water and brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. Ooh, build up your inner man, girls. Build it up. Build it up. Become that tree planted by a stream of living water. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Oh, we all know that. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You see, this is supposed to get old. This is, you know, the wrinkles are supposed to happen. And I know the whole world today is all about getting rid of all that stuff. But the reality is we're going to get old. Everybody's going to get old. Your boobs are going to drop and things are going to sag. No matter how skinny you are, it's going to sag. And honestly, be okay with it because the inside is beautiful. And God created you. These are supposed to be get old and die because our spirit man goes and lives with Jesus Christ. This is not who we are. This is fading. When we get to heaven, we get new bodies. Hallelujah. And God is going to do something new, right? But take care of your temples. I'm not saying that. But listen, don't be so insecure. Don't lose who you are. Be okay with who you are because the inward man is what needs to be strengthened the most. Make sure that this doesn't result inside. Let this be the outpouring of what happens outside. Strengthen your inner man. Build your heart up in the things of God. Get his thoughts towards you and not your thought towards you. Love who you are because God wants you to step into the mystery of what he's given us. Walking out the mystery every day in what we just talked about will bring the appreciation to God who gave us everything. And so this is just the beginning of this verse. We have so much more. He's going to talk about wisdom and revelation and the height and the depth of God. I mean, it's just so deep. But he prays this over us every day. Pray this over yourselves. Get this scripture. Pray it over your family. Pray it over yourself. And watch God do something new inside of your heart today, okay? Did you get something from the word?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.